Aye.
Short Bus Debate Club. It's a bus. Rolling.
Fight the power.
I can get on board.
Hello,
I'm Darren Jolly.
It's time to get this short bus started. So let's roll and on with the show.
Hi, this is Brian, Courtney, with Short Bus Debate Club, and Darren is right across the table from me.
Did you think that when you said Brian, that somebody would have thought that you were some Brian other than the Brian who's always on here all the time?
That might have been what was going through my head. But
they all know what my name is because in the fucking intro it says, this is Darren Jolly. Because you didn't include your name in the intro, motherfucker.
No, I didn't. But that's because I didn't want everyone to think that I was like a megalomaniac and that I just needed to hear my name.
So now people think that I'm a megalomaniac.
No, because I'm the one that made the fucking intro.
And everybody knows that.
Now you know. I made the intro, not that guy.
130 episodes in. I'm not a megalomaniac. I would rather be invisible, but you can't really be invisible if you do things like this.
No, it's pretty tough. Okay, so I just, again, we may end up talking about more than just the top five, but one thing that I want to remind our listeners about is that everything that we talk about is tied together fairly closely. You know, there are a few exceptions to that rule, like when we did the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame one,
and the humpback aliens.
When we did the what concerts are coming up and that kind of shit, you know, that doesn't really have anything to do with, like, slush funds and government spending and things like
that. How power is articulated and how you might relate to that power.
Right. The reason that I mentioned it in the intro to part two is, you know, these government entities, the Department of Defense, maybe the Air Force specifically, they are looking at ways to increase their budget to defend our planet. Well, they don't say planet, defend our country against these threats that are coming from wherever, another dimension in time. It's somewhere else in space.
The inclusion of it in a nation state context when you're dealing with extraplanetary kind of like concepts is a very peculiar way to couch a defensive or offensive notion, though.
Yes, it's really kind of stupid to say, well, we need to defend the United States against these extraterrestrials when we need to defend the planet.
It's kind of why I wanted to kill Iron Man sometimes, you know?
Just because he's a shitty superhero?
No, because, like, in the fucking Winter Soldier one,
mm-hmm.
and when Captain America becomes a rogue.
You mean Civil War?
Yeah. So it was, yes. There you go. Brian is there. He's been through it all. But they all sign, like, a roadie and fucking dumbass Iron Man, what's his name?
Tony Stark.
They signed the whatever, the sort of armistice kind of thing,
yeah,
you know?
That we won't help people because it would be considered treason.
Yeah, and well, because whatever happened in Rwanda or wherever they were, where everybody got hurt, I mean, there's a relative level of obnoxiousness when you're fighting aliens or extra dimensional or, you know, if you're dealing with Doctor Strange and all that kind of shit. Like, it goes back to that moment where after we're dead and the aliens come and they find all of our blankets, you know, lying around. These are really nice blankets. They're very nice colors.
For those of you that don't know what the fuck Darren's talking about, he's talking about our flags.
They would be, I mean, because seriously, like, who would think, because it's not like you can walk along the edge of where Hungary and Germany are divided and see, well, this is clearly Hungarian space, while this is obviously Germanic space.
But you know where you can walk across and see the dividing line? Mexico and the United States.
Some spots in those places, with the Rio Grande and all that kind
there's
of stuff.
A big wall.
And, well, in some places, but there's not nearly as much wall as... And we have the the troops. I mean, whatever they could, they don't call them troops, but they really, it is ostensibly a military division. You mean ICE? Yeah, yeah, ICE and all of the various different Homeland Security actors in that space. Yes.
Yeah. I don't think it's that way on the Canadian border, though, is it?
Oh, they probably have some of those guys that are riding on the backs of those big horses, you know, and they got the big red hats, you know.
Big horses.
I don't know what it's all about, but I'll tell you, the Canadian, you know what I'm talking about, like the Canadian.
Yeah, the mounted police.
The mounted police, yeah. No, Canadians will not do that. They have, like, we have weird things for weed. Like, I know on the river that runs from Vancouver to into Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when I went 100 years ago, after it was, so there was a lockout, like in 2003, 2004, something like that. Steve Moore had gotten his back broken. And after Steve Moore got his back broken, somehow or another, there ended up being a work stoppage in the NHL. And they quit playing for like a year and a half. And then they started playing again. And I went up to see my sister, who was living in Seattle at the time. And I got tickets to the first Colorado-Vancouver game in Vancouver after that, after Steve Moore had gotten his neck broken by Todd Bertuzzi. And after the work stoppage had come to an end. So, like, I wore a Hayduk jersey. So there's this guy that was sitting, like, because we were in the lower bowl. I paid a lot of money for the tickets that I got. Because if I'm going to go, I'm going to go. And, like, dude, fucking Canadians. They, like, fucking golf clap at forechecks. They're, like, crazy about it. Yes. But there's this fucking, you know, hoser behind me saying,
take off, eh, you hoser.
Steve Moore sucks. Steve Moore's a pussy. Steve Moore sucks. And he just kept yelling at it. And I was like, cool. So, but I went, and because I was the only person that actually smoked cigarettes there, everybody else smoked weed. But during the intermissions, I'm out there rolling my cigarettes, and I was talking to all these guys smoking really good fucking Canadian weed. And they told me about how they get their weed in to the United States. And they told me about this spot that they had where they do this electronic surveillance to try to stop, because it goes, they send it down the river, which is kind of fucking cool, you know. But and that was 100 years ago, before, like, Washington had liberalized their weed position, right. And it didn't really matter anymore. But at that point in time, it was a fucking hilarious thing. So, and that was the only digital frontier that they had, was for weed coming from Canada into the United States. That was my point. So, and I don't hate the Mounties. I love the Canadians. You guys paid for my fucking graduate school. I love you forever. You're way better than the United States when it comes to money for higher education. I love you guys.
Yeah, and thanks for coming to Colorado and buying all of our mines and polluting Colorado and not Alberta. Thanks. We appreciate it.
We don't like those Canadians, but the regular Canadians we like. You have much better bar talk than you do in the United States.
Yeah, so they've got some serious smuggling shit. Like, I know that the Indian reservations that encompass both countries,
mm-hmm,
have some smuggling things where it's about booze, really, then, you know.
This isn't 1929, though.
Yeah, they still have it.
They smuggle booze in, what is it, is because it's outlawed in, like, the reservation, Dakota?
No, the reservations here in the United States, you're not supposed to have booze on. Now, with the casinos and stuff, I don't know how they've worked around those rules, because most of the casinos, you can get booze. When they first opened, you could not.
When we used to go play in Isleta all the time, there was a bar, but you had to go into the bar and pay to drink. They did not give you any booze on the table at all. But of course, that was a really long time ago.
So maybe they haven't changed the laws then. I don't know. When I used to go to the ones down in New Mexico, there was no booze.
Yeah, the Isleta was, yeah, the northern part of Albuquerque. So, but that was 18. I don't think I've been down there for like 16, 17 years. The one down
in Colorado.
Around Dolores or something like that. We're
getting way off topic here. But yeah, uh-huh, right down there, Ignacio.
Mm-hmm.
No booze was there. But so they have all kinds of shit now. They've got, like, concerts. But what I was getting at is that, like, the Native Americans would go over to Canada and bring booze back to the reservation that is on our side. And a lot of times they would sell it. Obviously they would drink it.
Well, how did that play with the ones in Quebec, the huge ones in Quebec? You said it worked both ways. Like, I get that idea. And it would all be like Canadian seal booze too at that point in time, right?
Yeah, and I don't know what we've got that would go over there, but I would assume there's something they want from us besides our minds. there's got to be something.
You want your rare earth minerals? Really? We're going to take them out of there. We're going to send them to China where they're going to fix them up, and we're going to have ourselves some windmills.
We really like your coal. Your emerald mines wouldn't bother us. There's got to be something that goes the other way. But I know for sure, well, we're not sending booze over there. And we're not sending weed over there. So I don't know what the fuck it would be. Coke? But they've got bigger, better ports than we have. So Coke could go to one of their ports.
Yeah, anything. Heroin. Yeah. Maybe they just want that crystal meth, you know? That's when I got stopped in Iowa. Remember, that's what the cop fucking stopped me for. He said, you guys from Colorado, you go up to Canada and you buy all that stuff and you bring it back down. And I was like, yeah, but wouldn't I have gone to like fucking Saskatoon? Why the fuck would I have gone all the way over to fucking Ontario and stayed there for 5 months and then fucking come back? And he laughed at that point because he knew I was being an asshole, but I was being an asshole with good reason.
Yeah. Okay, so I don't even remember what the fuck we were talking about. Oh, yeah, everything being connected. And then we got slightly off course talking about borders. But the reason that I mention it is because with the UAPs or unidentified aerial phenomenon or whatever the fuck they call it today, they're building up lots of big budgets so that they can fight aliens at some point. With maybe a big death ray. Maybe they're working on the speed of light. I don't know what they're doing. But my guess is just socking that money away and spending it on illegal wars somewhere. Choice is yours. Use your imagination.
What in the fuck are you talking about?
The aliens. And how we're building up budgets so that they can go and fight said aliens.
I think that it's more like that Kurt Vonnegut thing where it's like they're controlling their aliens and then we're just sort of like a side project.
Who is a side project?
We are. Yeah. Like I said, they have their show Light Cops.
Yeah, I know that, Dib. What I'm getting at is this is why they're having fucking congressional hearings on how dangerous extraterrestrials are, is so that they can build up a budget so the United States can fight them.
Especially when everything that had been being said in those was like nothing was from firsthand knowledge.
No, it was all like weird hearsay shit.
Like, how do you have a fucking zero firsthand knowledge and you have a bunch of people sitting around talking about things in the abstract like that?
Right, just because you have a title of or retired lieutenant colonel or, you know, retired analyst for the CIA or whatever the fucking title is, that doesn't mean that you have that expertise. It just means that somebody has told you a lot of fucking stories.
And that you are a good listener to those stupid fucking stories.
Yeah, like, if you tried to write a paper or an article for, like, a newspaper, and you turn that shit in, and it just said, heard this from Bob, heard this from Redacted because we can't use the name. Heard this from...
Redacted gets a lot of copy in those forms. Redacted is a very famous person. I want to have a child and name that child Redacted.
There is no fucking way that newspaper would allow you to publish that article. They'd say go back and get somebody who would, you know, actually go on the record.
Something.
But our government's like, yeah, we'll listen to him. For 6 hours, tell us all about the fucking people that told him stories about when a fucking UFO flew overhead. So
they're going to have an open and they're going to have a closed session too.
Right, because the closed session is so that they can talk about the redacted parts in slightly more detail.
Yeah, but they're still talking about names of people that they heard things from, but they never actually saw themselves.
Right.
So they're, I mean, when you all of your redacteds are hearsay redacteds, that's a pretty solid, you know, I can't believe that more people don't believe that we don't have aliens just walking among us, that we don't have cars that are like fucking Marty McFly in the fucking, you know, Back to the Future and shit like that, you know. We probably actually have aliens from other dimensions that are sitting here telling us what to think and say while we're talking right now. I think that's what those redacted moments really help us to see and understand. This is not sarcasm or satire at all.
No. We're totally behind everything Congress is doing right now with regard to building our defenses. I feel safer.
And
just knowing those meetings are happening.
We both made this point in those alien episodes. It doesn't mean that we don't believe in aliens. We believe I believe in something. I believe mathematically it makes no, it's just not possible for us to be the only existing consciousness in all of existence. That's just an implausible thing to believe or maintain. But the way that it's being put together in popular society right now, whether through the medium of entertainment or in congressional session, it's mostly comedic and for the sake of justifying pumping money into a military industrial complex.
I still have to ask the question again, you know, like when they build these weapons, are they assuming, you know, that these beings are going to be nearly identical to us? You know, the heart's in the same place, brain's in the head, all of the stuff, so that whatever you do to that being would be something you could do to a human and it would kill them?
This philosophical difficulty is actually something that they brought up in that show, Falling Skies. Because before the overlords came in, which were similar to us, they had machines that stood upright with legs and with arms, right? But the bug-like things that were attacking us, the skitters, right, were nothing like us. And one of the characters who was teaching school to all these kids that were, you know, you keep them busy as you're rolling through life. You try to make things as normal as they can while they're trying to not get killed by evil aliens from outer space. But this little girl said, it's weird that they look like bugs, but that the machines that are working with them look more like us. Why would that be? You know, and it turned out that they made them like them because the overlords were like us in that instance. But yes, every assumption is, because you start from what you know. I mean, it's the same ridiculous thing about God. You know, we say that God is created in our own image, you know, but really we create God in our own image. It's the other way around, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't sound as cool to make people follow you.
I understand that, but we're going to make aliens in our image.
We drew God to make him look like us, and we called him a him.
And we made him white. Despite the fact that we put him in the middle of a bunch of black people. We just dropped a white man in the middle of a bunch of black people and said, I am the Redeemer. I was born Jewish, but I've decided that I want to eat bacon. So I'm no longer going to purge the bacon from my diet. Yes.
Particular rule.
I will eat things that root and eat and shit. Yeah, we make up our own image. But with aliens, we just give them the longer fingers. Because whoever created those aliens had a sneaky thing about wanting somebody to stick a finger
in. And like no mouth. They're just all eyes.
Because they just are telepathic. That's something that people always say too.
So then we're assuming they have those huge fucking heads with the big eyes because there's a lot of brain activity going on in there and they're telepathic. So if we shoot them in the head, they'll die.
No, it depends on which hemisphere you hit, you know.
Okay. So let's throw another $1 trillion at it and see if we can figure something out.
That's right, yes. There will be no easy solutions with the big-headed, long-fingered, big-eyed.
No, we're going to keep DARPA mouthless, working for a really long time.
The mouthless.
I watched Pixels the other night. And Pixels is that Adam Sandler movie with the video games. Like, he's some sort of genius.
It's a Walt Disney thing, right?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's a different one. There's a new movie called Pixels out right now. That's, oops, Walt Disney.
Oh, well, this, I don't know, had a bunch of fucking video games in it, but they took a fucking videotape of the video game championship in 1982, and they put it in and launched it out into space as a way to greet any known or unknown beings out there. Well, these aliens got the videotape and considered it a threat. So they attacked us with video games. So I think the first one was the first one might have been Defender. I don't know, but they did Centipede,
there's a giant
Pac-Man.
Pac-Man on the front of it.
Yeah. And it was all, they were pixelated, but the chick, Michelle Monaghan, who played the wife of Woody Harrelson in season one of True Detective, was the scientist in Pixels. And she worked for DARPA, and she figured out that they were energy-based beings. And so she developed this energy ray to help Adam Sandler and Peter Dinklage and
Dinklage is in it.
Josh, I can't remember his last name. Anyway, and Kevin James was the president.
Josh Gad.
Yeah, I almost said Rad, but I didn't think that sounded right. But they use these energy weapons to fight them because those beings were energy. So I guess, you know, they put some thought into it.
She's not unattractive.
Hot as hell. I like her a lot. But I can't really think of anything else she's in.
Gone, Baby Gone. She was his wife.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think.
She was one of the private investigators.
Oh, is that what she was?
Yeah. She was Casey Affleck's partner. Maybe wife, but they definitely worked together.
That would have been a brother doing a brother a favor, that's for sure. Because it was directed by Ben Affleck.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
Learn something new every day.
That's why it was not a very good movie.
I know she was in one of the Bourne movies, but I can't remember which one. She played one of the analyst people at the computer.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Keep talking.
I'm trying, but I'm running out of fucking things to say. I can't talk about Pixels and the fucking energy weapons anymore because it isn't that good a movie. It's actually horrible. But the point I was trying to make about the Pixels thing is that at least they put some thought into it. Like, they had to analyze what the beings were, or at least what they thought they were, before they tried to develop a weapon.
So they weren't made in our image, is what you're saying. They were more complicated than that.
Right.
We had to learn a little bit from the beginning.
Yeah.
Bourne Supremacy was the one that she was in.
Okay. And Gone Baby Gone was a pretty good movie, dude.
I didn't really think it was all that good. I mean, she fucked him up.
She fucked him up.
Well, she framed him for a murder.
And maybe I'm thinking of a different movie. No, you're thinking of the movie
Gone Girl. That's right. Yeah. I am thinking of that.
Gone Baby Gone was
a totally different movie.
Morgan Freeman was in it. Yeah. Sean Penn was in it. Casey Affleck.
Yep.
Michelle Monaghan.
Ed Harris.
Yeah.
What the fuck was in that movie then?
I never watched Gone Girl because I think that's a What the fuck was the director's name? He irritates the shit out of me. I don't know. It doesn't matter because it doesn't have shit to do with aliens.
Oh, you do. You hate him. We just talked about him the other day. David Fincher.
Yeah. He did never Seven. Watched that movie.
You didn't like Seven either.
Yeah, not really. But maybe I need to watch it again. I don't know.
I like it, dude.
The Gone Girl, I definitely did not want to watch. Hello? Okay.
You bleeped yourself out. Bleeped yourself out there, little buddy.
So,
we've talked a lot about these episodes in the second half.
Yes.
Just tons and tons.
Well,
Pixels and aliens.
We can still go on tangents like nobody's business.
That's for sure, dude. We know how to fill up time and space with virtually nothing.
Which is what we should call these episodes. Virtually nothing.
We are. It's the Short Bus Debate Club, dude. I mean, Jesus Christ. There's a new Indian movie that's coming out called Monkey Man. Have you seen any of those things for the Monkey Man?
A new Indian movie?
Well, it's Dev Patel, you know.
Oh, Bollywood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, I haven't heard of Monkey Man.
Look up the... it looks kind of fucked up. It looks interesting.
Okay.
It's not about aliens.
Is it about monkeys?
No, it's about a man who used to fight with a monkey head on his head. Like in the underground fighting world of somewhere shitty in India. And he would have to lose on purpose. And his mother got killed by these evil people. And he is an incredible fighter. So he gets to... It's like... settle the score with number of people. And while he was getting his ass kicked in that underground fighting scene, you know, you have to be able to be a good fighter but lose. You know, it's kind of like wrestling, but you really are fighting, you know? At least that's what it sounded like when I was reading the little bit about it leading into it.
Well, I'm probably not going to go and watch it.
You're not going to go and watch it, but I bet diamonds to dollars you watch the fucking movie, though. I would lay odds. This is the kind of stupid fucking movie, Brian, that you watch, brother.
When it comes out on whatever
fucking HBO channels. HBO or Netflix.
I might watch it. I might watch
you
it.
You know
who Holy shit.
What?
There's an Indian dude, and his name is Makrand Deshpande. He plays Baba Shakti in Monkey Man, but he looks like an Indian version of Bob Ross. Check out that picture, dude. Tell me which one you think I'm talking about.
That's not very nice, dude. He's got some locks. There's no doubt about that. But his face, I can't see him with the palette, dude. I can't see him going... Some little happy trees, you know, or something like that. You know, I just
just had to do the accent.
Yeah. It was not a good. But you know who Dev Patel is, right?
He's the one that plays Kid in Monkey Man.
Yeah, that's what his. But so he was.
He was in the newsroom.
Yeah, he was in Newsroom. Yeah. So I liked him in Newsroom. He's kind of gotten big lately, though.
Well, that. I mean, dude, clearly if you liked him in Newsroom, he's got to be a bang-up in fucking Monkey Man.
Yeah, they're almost interchangeable in terms of subject matter. Yes, I understand. I just see, like, it's been, like, when I was watching movies that are coming out in 2024, like, it was in all of these lists. So I kept seeing these trailers for it, trailer after trailer after trailer for Monkey Man.
I wonder if some of the distributors own, like, big chunks of the studios in India because they figured they could make money off of them. All of the Bollywood movies I've seen are shit.
I've not really watched any of them. There's got to be some good ones, though, dude.
They always have to do some sort of fucking singing and dancing in every one of them. I don't quite get it, but... this is something...
I'm certain that there are some Bollywood movies where there is no singing and no dancing. Or at least, if there's dancing, it would be more like, sort of like a socially, like, colloquial variety. Not like we break out in a song in the middle and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You would assume. But I can't even remember what the fuck I was watching. But dude walks into a restaurant and orders something. He thinks the waitress is kind of cute. And so you would assume...
Yeah, it's like, know, Grease all of a sudden or something.
They're
like
gonna,
that.
They're gonna talk. He's gonna ask her out. She's gonna say no. Whatever. Something along those lines. And all of the fucking wait staff and the kitchen people and everybody are fucking dancing around. I don't know. I don't know.
I have to say that in Sense8, with the Indian component in Sense8, the only singing and dancing had to do with the moment where they're singing karaoke. So... I'm just gonna go forward and say that I don't think Monkey Man has any singing dancing in like in that. And that is a Bollywood film. So
okay.
I'm just gonna throw it out there. And I'm gonna go out on a limb and say that Monkey Man is not breaking new territory right now by not having singing and dancing in it.
You could be right. And I'll let you know when I watch it.
I'm gonna have to watch it myself. Because I'm afraid now your ego will get hurt and you'll misrepresent the facts.
Nah. All right, so I don't have any fucking idea what to talk about. I mean, so...
Why do you do that? Can't we just segue back to something?
I don't know. My mind just fucking went completely blank, so I didn't have a segue. And we would have just been here with fucking dead air.
That's fine. Then we're non-segueing, segueing. You know, it's kind of like what do they call that? Jumping the shark. You know, this is the jumping the shark for podcasts.
What the fuck is jumping the shark?
It's like the stupid techniques that they use in old sitcoms when they can't think of any other storylines, so they break the fourth wall or something like that. They make it so that Fonzie's interacting with the audience, or Fonzie dies and comes back. You know, really, really stupid things.
They call it that because of that fucking stupid water skiing episode?
Yes. Yes. I can't believe that you actually know that it's a reference to what happened in the fucking old Happy Days episode where he was water skiing. Yes. Jumping the Shark is a reference to that.
Wow.
That Happy Days episode. Well, that is a sign, folks, that Brian has consumed way too much television in his life. Because I had no fucking idea. There was an episode called Jumping the Shark and Supernatural. And I was like, what the fuck is that, Jeannie? And Jeannie's like, go fucking look it up in Wikipedia. Because I made her do everything like that. So I was never allowed to ask her any questions after that. And I went and looked it up, and there was that episode of fucking Happy Days.
Monday, Tuesday, Happy Days. Okay, so what do you want to talk about then?
Yeah, you can't do that. Like, we already jumped a shark. We're already talking. We're already kind of going back and forth. You know?
Right, but I wasn't going to keep talking about the fucking shark or Happy Days.
You just sort of go back into, like, aliens for a second. Or you could talk about...
Sorry, I thought the aliens thing was all talked about.
Green energy. Like, well, we got an hour and 15 minutes that we have to fill.
Well, no. So. What I was going to say, though, is those, for some reason, are the most popular or most downloaded by...
Was there something else that you wanted to talk... That was your favorite episode?
Well, I'm a big fan of... The prostitution episodes.
And Brian has never paid for sex in an unconventional way in his life. When I say conventional way, I mean he's had partners that he's had to take out on dates or drink beers with, and then they would go and knock rocks. Or
you move in with her. I mean, you're paying for it one way or another.
I didn't need to get into that side of it.
Okay.
You aren't propositioning anything.
No, I don't say, here's $200, will you give me a blowjob? I say, here's $200, thanks for the blowjob, get out.
We're going to get some new listeners off of that one.
Well, according to Charlie Sheen, you don't pay him for sex, you pay him to leave.
Did he really say that?
All right.
My sister was at the Hamburger Hamlet one night, and he got into an argument with the chef because he wanted him to put some psilocybin on his mushroom burgers. He was a party guy when
that
he was younger.
That would have been gross.
No, it would have been horrible. But you hide the, you know, it's like the last time I remember eating mushrooms that I didn't hate, I was dipping them in yogurt, you know. That was when I went and saw Mazzy Star afterwards at the Boulder Theater. That was a really hard trip. That was not a good night. But except for when Mazzy Star played, because she is vocally, Hope Sandoval is vocally wonderful. And that was like 1994-ish.
The new psilocybin law in Colorado went into effect recently.
One past the decriminalization one? Because that was just in Denver proper.
You can grow them and sell them. You can sell them with a license. I don't know if they've attached the licensure part to it.
I was driving north on Wadsworth the other day, and there's a place, they do mostly CBD stuff, but they have this sign for mushroom growing kits. So,
yeah.
I have like no interest in that at all.
Well, I don't really either, especially now that I think they're going to charge you like thousands and thousands of dollars for a license in order to sell them. But last year, when it had actually passed, you know, you were in kind of that limbo. So you could have it, sell it, and probably not get busted. One of our friends who sort of lives in the neighborhood where we used to, he's got a bunch because somebody just gave them to him.
Huh. That's cool. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Does he eat them?
I don't think so.
I was going to say, like, I mean, his kids might, but I can't imagine that he would.
Mm-mm. I don't think he has, but he may have. I don't know.
I haven't eaten any fucking mushrooms since July 3rd, 1999. I was at a rainbow gathering.
I think the last time I ate them was that night that I went blind.
That you should probably not masturbate so much when you're eating mushrooms, dude.
But there were other drugs involved. Well, if you consider alcohol a drug, alcohol was involved.
So you drank a bunch and
ate
a bunch of
mushrooms? If you consider weed a drug, then weed was involved, and then mushrooms.
Okay.
No, that was the day we gave Liesl and, is it Demi?
Demi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rides up to Westminster. I drove them clear the fuck to Westminster, and they said that they were going to give me mushrooms.
Liesl always had really good mushrooms back then, dude.
So
this was last millennium.
She handed both me and Sean a handful of mushrooms, grub them, come back down, nothing. Call, this is bullshit, you gave me shitty mushrooms, we'll come back up and we'll give you more. Go all the way up there, they gave me more. Came down, still, shit, nothing, not tripping. And I think between Sean and I, we probably ate an eighth apiece. So I said, fuck this, dude. I went and dropped him off at home, came back, and as soon as I walked in the door, I look over and my uncle's sitting there, my mom's sitting there, and they're like, hi, and then boom, just colors exploded everywhere. I was like, fuck! I ran into the bathroom and looked in the mirror to see if I could tell I was tripping. I could tell I was tripping, but I was looking to see if they could tell I was tripping. And, ran out of the bathroom, said, see you guys later, and fucking went and jumped in the car and drove off. And then the party escalated from there. We ended up with more people in the car, and we were at a liquor store. And I was driving, and I took a huge hit off of a joint, and I was holding it in. And then I saw stars and just went blank.
Hey, did she live? She lived with Dave back then. Dave had just tons and tons of mushrooms. I just go up to their house. I think they lived on like 2nd and Sherman. I mean, this is 30 fucking years ago, so I really don't care, but they were wonderful. Like, Dave always had very good mushrooms. I never had any that were like delayed reaction response mushrooms, though. Like, I would eat them, and I would pretty much be blottoed for, you know, 6 hours-ish, you know, long enough for me to achieve mushroomness and be done with it, so.
It totally fucked with me, because it was a long time before they kicked in. But
an episode that I liked was the three ones that we did together. It was the drug policy episode with the prison industrial complex and then the cops, right? I mean, We literally talked for 6 hours, and we tied all that shit together, and you kept calling the Denver Police Department, and they kept not responding, and so much so that when you called the fourth or fifth time, they said, yes, Brian, we know. They referred to him by name when he called them. And, like, we live not in Denver, but we live close enough to Denver that we have to interact with Denver police, and he's lucky he didn't experience any retribution in that instance. But most of the cops we interact with are Lakewood or Jefferson County Police, directly where we live. So,
well, and I don't know with information sharing how much any of them know. I don't know, because it's not just the Denver cops that don't take my calls. I mean,
but Denver was who you were pestering the most that time. Yes,
that time.
In pestering, he just asked him what their policy position was on these things. I mean, he wasn't asking for anything too out of bounds.
No, I think that those should have been fairly easy questions to answer.
Especially if you want to have a maintain a relationship with the population that you're serving and protecting.
But that's because they don't serve or protect. Well, they do serve.
Some of them do.
They don't
some
serve of them don't. Us.
Some of them do. Some of them don't. I'm not gonna dog on all cops. I interact with a lot of cops where I work. There was a couple of cops that were super fucking cool that would come along. There's one guy that he was a motorcycle cop. I can't remember him, but I'd see him like 3 times a week, and he retired and he was done. And he would always talk to me about how like they were paring down the force, and they'd ask him to do more, and he'd always have to work overtime, and how it had turned into a bullshit public job, just like almost all public jobs were, and about how he didn't like when they start trying to squeeze down on things, he didn't feel good about it. There was this other one that he had a P.O. box at our station when COVID was happening. His first name is Lewis. I won't say anything else other than that. But he was a gang cop in Denver, and like he was very forthcoming when he told me what they were. You know, no, don't interact with anybody unless there's violence being perpetrated. Like when COVID happened, you know, and I mean, that was policy, you know, that was what they were telling everybody to do. And I was like, even in gang stuff, he said, you know, he says, we're still doing, we're watching our normal things, you know, trying to go up the ladder. He said, but besides that, we can't touch anybody unless violence happens. So,
well, no, I don't expect you or anybody to believe what I believe. I mean, I don't like them, period. And because if they are not doing these things themselves, then more than likely they're helping to protect someone they know that is doing those things. And when I say those things, I mean like beating people, planting evidence.
You mean like the way that the unions work inside of cop circles and stuff?
Not necessarily the union, just the fact that, you know, because they have the same thing like crooks, you know, that you're not supposed to snitch on people, right?
That's why I said the union. Yeah. I see the union stuff harder in relation to police like that, where the point of a union officer is to make sure that a cop doesn't lose their job, regardless of what they did that was
right, but improper. I'm thinking like that this stuff doesn't even get to a union to begin with, because in order to have your union delegate there, some formal proceeding has had to be put into effect before, you know, because I mean, if I don't make a complaint against you, the union person isn't even going to come
in. Yeah, but if something happens and they got body cams, then something's going to happen. I'm not saying that the body cam situation is an infallible or perfect situation, but there are ways where concepts of accountability are utilized through that space and abused through that space.
Yeah. I just, like I said, I mean, union, not union. If you know somebody's doing some shady shit, you watched him beat the fuck out of somebody, you watched him turn his fucking body cam off.
And cops then are you people don't, too. Cops are people too, though, dude. You know?
I know.
So some of them are going to be good and some of them are going to be bad. If you disagree with that, then you're being a fucking retard, Ryan. Seriously.
All I'm saying is that I haven't seen a good one. Well, no, that isn't entirely true. I was treated nicely by a cop once, and that was the chick who busted me with a warrant, and she gave me a piece of gum.
Okay. Whatever.
I'm not saying they're not out there. I'm just saying I have never encountered one.
Well, you
maybe you along are... the lines of the fucking alien thing, there are a couple of nice ones. But I just wearing the badge means that I don't like you right off the bat. Which probably means that's why we're not getting any interviews from the police. Maybe. Maybe it's because our show's too small.
But we got 10,000 downloads, bro.
I know.
After a year and a half.
That was the milestone.
And most of them come on one fucking site that we don't even understand or know.
All of that was organic growth. Like, we haven't been paying for advertising or anything like that.
Yeah, 85% of that organic growth has been on Opera.
Yeah. Which could mean they're bots. Might just mean that a lot of people like Opera as a browser.
Yeah, because I knew that Opera existed before I looked at our statistics.
I did. I have used that operating system, but that's because I'm paranoid and I like...
Opera's like, what's it called? Are they like...
Well, I use DuckDuckGo now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But is it like DuckDuckGo?
Yeah. Okay. So it's supposed to be a private browser. Mm-hmm. Obviously, nothing we do is actually private anymore, so.
This guy fucking called the other day, and one of my coworkers gave him my name, and he said, I came in and sent a package in the middle of February, and I need to get the tracking number, and I said, that's over 45 days, it's not gonna happen. I said, but let me check real quick, and so he started pushing the issue. Like, I mean, well, what if we can't get it, then what are we going to do? I said, well, let's just do one thing first, and then we'll take it in a different direction after that. So I went and looked, and like I said, it was gone. He said, so somebody presumably has access to that information somewhere. I said, no, absolutely, somebody has access to that information somewhere. He said, so who is that? I said, somebody that's an operator of the system itself. I said, not people that utilize it like me or you, you know. I said, those are internal workings. I said, I don't work for an intelligence organization and I'm not writing the program, so I'm not going to be one of the people that's going to have access to that. He said, but certainly somebody does. I said, I'm not going to go in circles with you over this. I said, I told you. He said, well, if I go and I have a activity on Amazon, I can look back 6 months and see my tracking number. I said, we're not the same as Amazon. He said, we do things and we function as a public organization, so we deal with them in real time. So if you send a package and it doesn't get there, you're required to file your insurance claim within a certain amount of time. And if you don't do that, then you're not going to get any insurance claim. He's like, but yes, surely somebody, I said, bro, I can't get access to that. I said, I'll give you a phone number to the consumer affairs number for Colorado. And I said, you know what they're going to tell you? The same shit that I just told you. He said, so clearly you're right and I'm wrong. I said,
you got that, right?
As far as this is concerned, yes, you're not going to. I said, presumably what a person does when they print out their receipt is they hang on to their tracking number. And they deal with it not 2.5 months after they send the package. He's like, well, so clearly. I said, yeah, that's it. Call that 303 number. Have a nice day. So I fucking hate people, dude. I fucking wanted to reach through the fucking phone and grab him around his fucking throat and pop his fucking head off like a zit. People are dumb, dude.
Yes, they are.
That's one of those moments where they have the alien cop show and they're laughing at me because I have to keep smacking my head against the wall.
Actually, know? I was going to say that's one of those moments where we're using the technology that aliens gave us.
So mote it be.
With Amazon, the post office. Yeah. Dude, I had something to say, but it fell out of my head.
Was so it from another episode that you liked? Or?
Well, I do really enjoy all of our episodes for the most part. And even though we're just talking shit about control or lack of control, money, lack of money. But no, I can't think of what it was. I don't know. I'm all out of segues, all out of anything. I shouldn't have taken my fucking pills before we recorded this one.
But thank you for sharing that with the folks.
Yeah, no problem. We were thinking about doing some other episodes for the media pop culture shit, and it's going to be really hard to tie it to this episode or the interview that we did with the socialist.
Especially because half the stuff we're talking about is about media pop culture stuff that we already did. So
you were talking about super bands.
Movies about fat retards, you woke cunt. One of Brian's better titles. He really just wanted to write that on and publish it somewhere.
A couple of different times, which four. I scored.
Four yeah. altogether, yeah.
But that's because we followed those two with the media pop culture thing. Because we talked about James Bond and Netflix and all of their horse shit that they're doing. Those were good episodes.
So super bands should be interesting because there are super bands from way back when. There are super bands from now. We're going to have to look deeper into the ones for now. I might have to appeal to the authority of my daughter on that one.
Yeah, and I think we're going to have to look at what they actually consider super.
You always want to get into definitions.
Well, no, I'm just, you know, just because there's more than fucking four people in it doesn't make it a fucking super band. And all of these guys, so that's, I was thinking about it, like Motley Crue, when those guys got together, all of them had been in a band prior to Motley Crue.
But nobody knew any of those people in those other bands.
Okay, so if you know the other band and then they join and make a band, is that what makes them super?
So one of the bands that I will talk about if we talk about super bands is a band called Oysterhead, right? Okay, the people that are in Oysterhead are Trey Anastasio. We know who Trey Anastasio played for. Les Claypool. We know who Les Claypool played for.
Bum, 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 bum.
And Stuart Copeland. And we know who Stuart Copeland played for. If you don't know who Stuart Copeland played for, then I'm going to smack you upside your fucking head.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
I know who he fucking played for. Okay, he was in the Police.
So that's all I'm saying, right? Like, Fish's lead guitar player. The front, really, Fish doesn't have a front person, but still Trey's still the front person. Les Claypool is clearly the front person for Primus. And well, Stuart Copeland is...
Don't forget about his band Sausage.
Well, and some other frogs, something around there too. Yeah. Great fucking, changed the fucking way that people played bass in popular music. I mean, so, but there's, I mean, again, like we were talking about earlier, like the Traveling Wilburys. I mean, the least famous person in that band is Jeff Lynne, and he played with the Electric Light Orchestra and did a ton of writing for Electric Light Orchestra and did a bunch of other writing on the side. I mean, there's no doubt that, you know, were Roy Orbison not to pop over a curb and take a fucking heady into the fucking curb off of his motorcycle, it would have been curious to see what happened with them. Here's just a little, I know I say this over and over again, so you probably know the answer to this. How did they come to be?
The Traveling Wilburys?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I have no fucking idea.
They were all at Tom Petty's studio, and he was doing the single for Free Falling, and they were trying to get a B-side together for that. And they put together Handle with Care. And then they played it and they're like, we cannot fucking use this as a B-side for anything. So that was the first track they laid down and they started recording after that. So
Yeah, I guess when you get a bunch of fucking famous people in your house, some amazing shit can kind of happen.
But sometimes yes and sometimes no, you know? Sometimes, like, you get a bunch of egomaniacs, you know, like, they don't know how to shut up and listen to each other. So that'll be something we'll have to think about a little bit when we go down this rabbit hole.
Okay, so maybe the next episode is going to be on super bands. I think I've said 472 times during this episode.
Only 471. Only. You didn't say it at all when your head was turning purple, when you had problems with Quasimodo.
That's because I was laughing so fucking hard. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. Yeah, so super bands, can we do 2 hours for that?
We can talk about music for 2 hours. I mean, once we get in the good thing about super bands is you get cul-de-sacs that you get to play with, you know, like I will try not to spend 37 minutes talking about Fish, but if we talk about Oysterhead, presumably I'm going to talk about Fish for a second, you know, because I saw Oysterhead 3 times and there are some way different ways that played out than going and seeing Fish show. So that's something that I'll have to bring up. So I haven't seen any other super bands. There's one that I'm trying to debate in my head whether or not it's a super band. It was 3 super hard, huge jazz guitar players that came together and made a couple of albums. One called Friday Night in San Francisco. It was Al Di Meola, John McLaughlin, and Paco de Lucia. De Lucia, I don't know how the fuck to say his last name. But they were fucking superstar fucking guitar players, dude. And they just were... They
are they all dead?
No. Well, I don't know. John McLaughlin's not dead. He just did he actually did an album with the lead guitar of Widespread Panic. I can't remember that guy's name. But they did an album 2 or 3 years ago. I don't know about Paco. I don't. Al Di Meola's definitely not. I saw him. He did this really weird version. So you were using
the past tense because they're not a band anymore.
Well, they only did it for so they had that one night and they played on the road for a little while together. But like jazz, that's kind of the way jazz works, you know? But they were definitely fucking superstars, right? And then in the late 90s, I went and saw them with Nicole at the Buell Theater. And Dale went that night too. He was sitting behind him. We paid fucking a ton of money for those tickets. But they were insane. Like but whatever. Like those are the kind of people that I'm thinking about, so...
All right, then. So it sounds like we're kind of settled on that. If you're tired of listening to us preach from a soapbox about politics and the different industrial complexes...
He's going to tell you to fuck off now.
No, I wasn't going to tell you to fuck off. I was going to say, now you get a chance to listen to us preach on a soapbox about music. So... Well, just to give you something to look forward to.
But if you are tired of that other stuff... You do get the music, but you're going to have to fuck off because we're going to go back to that other one too. So
yeah, but this is a perfect example of us doing an episode every now and then that truly doesn't connect to everything else. So it's good we're doing super bands. Maybe we can figure out a way to tie it into some bullshit. If we talked about Bruce Springsteen doing a concert for... Did you see the size of that goddamn chicken? And raising like $3 million, then... We could tie it together.
Bruce Springsteen and Young Guns? What the fuck?
Well, he did a benefit concert for RFK to help raise money for the campaign.
You keep referring back to... Who is it you think the RFK looks like?
Dermot Mulroney.
I don't see it. That's why those jokes never land for me.
Dude, I swear they look fucking identical.
Could you hear RFK saying... You see the size of that chicken?
No, I can't. But it's still...
How do you be a presidential candidate and not be able to talk without choking on a fucking frog?
Especially in this day and age. Like, back when Roosevelt ran, you know, if we would have had the internet and the way people are as shallow as they are now, he never would have won the presidency.
Which time?
I don't know. Wasn't he in a wheelchair the entire time?
I don't think so. Not until his polio didn't get bad until like 36, I don't think. maybe even 40. When did he get, so he, 30, 32 was when he first got elected, 32, 36, 40, 44. And then he died immediately after 44, right?
I thought he was in a wheelchair the whole fucking time.
I don't think he was. I'm pretty sure. Dude, if you had polio that bad for that long, you would have fucking died.
Okay, well, that's fine. So maybe it would have been his second term that he wouldn't have gotten elected, because people would have said, well,
that he's weak. You
expect us to fucking vote for a guy in a wheelchair?
Yeah, because now we have a choice between a fucking super indicted fucking Cheeto and a dude who can't remember his fucking ass from his fucking elbow. They won't even let him do public fucking appearances because he's such a fucking jackass.
Yeah, both are excellent choices. And did you know, like, I'm trying to figure out what their play is or just how bad they're pissed, but all of the Cheetos' former people are saying, do not vote for this guy. He is the worst possible choice for this country. And they're not, I mean, they're all saying different things, but that's essentially their fucking message.
Not everybody. What was the New York mayor that was like his best friend?
Giuliani.
Giuliani. He's not saying anything right now because his indictments are a lot heavier than the ones that Trump is experiencing in relation to that presidential bid or that presidential experience. It's funny. So the ones that aren't talking because they're gag ordered because of their own legal fucking issues.
Well, and I would think, like, I don't know, based on all of the stupid shit I've seen him do, maybe he's not that worried about it since he admits to so much of it, but I would have put all of those people under NDAs, like, to where if they opened their mouth, they were in trouble, period. But they're all saying, fuck that guy, don't vote for him.
Well, how many NDAs could you institute when it's a public office?
Well, but some of them are saying, like, actually speaking about shit that he had done or said. So the stuff that he says, you know, on CNN, you can't do an NDA for that. But the stuff that he says right before he goes on stage, that's the kind of shit you'd want to NDA. Okay,
but another moment where, like, the Democrats have just shot themselves right in the dick, right? So the lady who brought him up on all the charges in Georgia, she was getting all these free vacations with this person that was tied to it, and it was a conflict of interest. And now all the shit that she's been pushing with regards to that indictment have suddenly become suspect. So Georgia, which looked like the biggest fucking, you know, like, you got the gun in his hand moment because of, you know, we need to get 11,432 votes, you know. The people that they used to try to indict the case were
total
fucking asshats. She said that she repaid the person who paid for all the trips in cash, that her dad told her never to trust the bank and to always keep your money in a mattress. Which may be true, right? Like, it may be true, but at the same time, you are hogtied by the fucking institutions that you're, I mean, if you're that high in the Democratic Party, it's hard for me to, you know, for you to make that kind of an argument, right? Because she is clearly hogtied by the Democratic Party. So
I don't know if he was in a wheelchair or not, but he was fitted with some kind of brace in 26.
Yeah, he wore the brace for a long time. But that's, I mean, I'm sure that, because the braces back then, you know, cut into your legs and all that shit, so.
Yeah, but he said that they didn't fit, and I think it was in, later in, fuck, I don't know. I can't read this entire timeline about him. But he was paralyzed by 26.
You're just shaming fucking polio people, Brian.
Yeah, I know. I think that Roosevelt and all of the other people that have polio should not be president. No, that's 423. All right, fuck it. I can't do this anymore. We're going to talk about Something.
Super bands next time.
Yeah.
720-334 roll. I did it right this time. Last time, apparently, I think I said 344.
So. And that's 7655 for those of you that can't spell using a keypad. And
because roll can be R-O-L-E, depending on the context, but not the context that we're using it in because it's a bus.
No, we're not playing Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm a 37th level paladin. I'm a mage. I'm throwing a bolt of blue lightning at you.
Shortbusdebateclub at yahoo.com.
You know, they're coming out with Dungeons and Dragons stamps this year.
Are they?
They really are in the third quarter of 2024.
You know that you are going to have fucking super dorks waiting in line for like a week get those.
I've already, like, people are already like, can I reserve some? You know, there's a guy that, the dude that picks up our mail at night, he goes and plays Dungeons and Dragons.
Like, the line will be clear the fuck down to 285, and there are gonna be dressed up like their wizards. Favorite fucking character and
they're
shit.
They're gonna have like scabbards and fucking blades and shit like that, and they're gonna be referring to them as scabbards and long swords.
By the power of something. All right. Well, we gave you the number, we gave you the email, and then we went off on another fucking tangent. We'll see you next week.
All right. Later.